You're listening to Real Estate with Kevin Turner on Newstalk 4BC.
Thanks, Stephanie. Stephanie back with the news headlines for us at 7.30. Good morning and welcome to the show, 7 past 7. And it's good to be with you. We're talking real estate, of course. And we do that for Waterfront Properties. Make the move to Water's Edge Apartments on the Redcliffe Peninsula. It is absolute waterfront luxury from just $575,000. Make the move. So what's coming up in the show today? Well, we're going to talk about the death of the Queenslander. We'll catch up with, he's a self-professed lover of Queenslanders. He's an author, but he's also a carpenter. So he has a great knowledge of what makes a great Queenslander, and he's very concerned, as we'll tell you a little bit later in the show too. We're going to also talk about what's really happening with the Australian property market, and a very interesting interview in just a moment with Shane Oliver. He was the senior economist with AMP, and that's certainly going to ruffle a few feathers, I can tell you. The REIQ will speak out about confusing messages, and as a follow-on from my talk to Claire yesterday about agents sitting on offers and setting up Dutch auctions, my phone went crazy, so we're going to do a little bit more on that today. All that and lots more coming up today in the show. And we'll also catch up with Dr. Andrew Wilson. He's going to have a look at the Narangbar market today, and that's as a response to a request we received about a week or so ago to have a look at that market. Interesting article that I read just yesterday in Adam Nobel's newsletter. Adam will join us later in the show too. But in 2014, over 9,000 Australians took part in the first ever Aussie backyard bird count, producing a fascinating snapshot of Australia's birds with more than 800,000 sightings and a huge range of species recorded over the week. Now, I didn't even know this had happened back in 2004, or last year. The final results saw rainbow lorikeets, noisy miners, Australian magpies, sulphur-crested cockatoos and galahs as the most spotted birds, with more than 21,000 checklists submitted by backyard counters from across the country. Rainbow lorikeets were the top bird in New South Wales, Western Australia, South Australia and Queensland, while the Australian magpie led the flock, listen to this, in Victoria and the Australian Capital Territory, not even in Queensland. That's a surprise. In the Northern Territory, the budgerigar was the most sighted, while the house sparrow led the count in Tasmania. Anytime during this week, this week coming, 19th to the 25th of October, you can take part. Note down how many birds you see in 20 minutes in your backyard, in the park, at the beach, at the forest, or at the paddock. Now, you can do it as many times as you like. So to participate, all you have to do, get into the latest age of technology, download this app. It's called the Aussie Backyard Bird Count. Aussie Backyard Bird Count. You can get it from the iTunes App Store or at the Google Play Store. Now, when you submit your list, you'll be able to see live statistics on how many people are taking part, as well as the number of birds and species that are seen near you and right across Australia. So far, there have been 68,501 birds sighted just this month alone. So get onto it. You can do it anytime, but the official time is from the 19th to the 25th of October. Aussie Backyard Bird Count app. Just get it. Let us know how you go. I'm going to give it a shot. And you only have to do it for about 20 minutes. Just count how many birds, what sort of bird they are, and you can do it as many times as you like. So thanks to Adam for posting that article and drawing that to our attention.
You're listening to Real Estate with Kevin Turner. Make the move to Water's Edge Apartments on the Redcliffe Peninsula. It's absolute waterfront luxury from just $575,000.
Let's get a good insight as to what's happening in the property market. Shane Oliver is the Chief Economist with AMP and joins us. Shane, thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
Interesting market around Australia. We've probably got so many markets, and I see that you're predicting a possible fall in the Sydney and Melbourne markets in the coming years.
It certainly is an interesting property market around Australia at the moment, and you're right to say that it's very hard to generalise because we've got several capital cities, particularly Perth, Darwin, which are seeing price falls, whereas at the other end you've got cities like Sydney and Melbourne, which have been seeing very strong gains. But my feeling is, when I look at the impact of the measures by APRA, the bank regulator, to try and slow the property market down, those measures seem to be starting to impact. And I think we're really seeing the heat coming out, particularly from the Sydney property market. And I think as we go over the next year or two, that's really going to slow down, and we'll probably see price declines sometime around 2017.
Some commentators saying that any declines that you're foreshadowing, if they come into effect, are really going to bring us back to what would be a normal market. What's your feeling about that?
I think there's no doubt that the Sydney and Melbourne property markets have become abnormal. They've become way too hot. Earlier this year, we were seeing auction clearance rates around 80%, which is way, way, way too high. Investors were playing a huge role in driving those markets, and price gains were pushing up to around 20%, particularly in Sydney. So the market had become too hot, too speculative. It really does need to cool down. After, I think, just in a couple of years, prices in Sydney had gone up by about 40%, which is way, way over the top, way out of line with what we've been seeing elsewhere in Australia.
How would you assess the moves by APRA? Have they been effective?
I think the moves by APRA have been effective. They first announced that they were going to do something about it late last year, and nothing much happened through most of the first half of the year. But then as time wore on, particularly when you got to June and July, it was clear those measures were really starting to bite, with many banks increasing mortgage rates for investors, announcing lower loan-to-valuation ratios, and also tougher income tests. And what we can see, it's still early days, is that lending to investors is really starting to cool in the last few months. So I think the APRA measures have helped, even though it took a bit longer than one might have expected.
We're already seeing some of the auction markets, particularly Sydney and Melbourne, starting to slow down a bit. Conversion rates or sale rates not quite as high under the hammer. Is that just seasonal, or do you think it's just a case that buyers are maybe being a bit tougher with their negotiations?
I think there's a couple of factors going on here. I think the number of investors out there looking for properties has cooled down. I think those who are out there are being a lot tougher. And the price gains of the last few years have seen a big increase in supply that home buyers have thought, well, now's a good time to get our house on the market. And so that's also impacting. So all of these things are coming together, and the Sydney auction clearance rate has now been below the 70% level now for about 5-6 weeks in a row, compared to earlier this year when it was consistently above 80%. So it looks to me like it's well and truly cooled down.
Well, of course, this is supposed to be the peak selling time of the year. Is that a cause for concern as we head into 2016?
I think there's no doubt that the slowing we're seeing would be a concern, particularly for real estate agents and for those homeowners who do want to sell. But if you're a home buyer, it's good news. It's also good news for the Reserve Bank, I guess, who was worried that the Sydney and Melbourne property markets were too hot and that was going to cause some sort of imbalance in the economy. And so now that it's cooling down, it actually gives more scope for them to potentially consider cutting interest rates further. So, yes, some would be not enjoying this and would rather see stronger markets continue, but I think in the interests of national stability and the giving the Reserve Bank more flexibility on interest rates, a cooling is what we really need.
I'm talking to Shane Oliver, Chief Economist with AMP. Shane, your advice for investors as we enter into what is probably a fairly unpredictable market, what approach do you think they should be taking, property investors?
I think property investors at this stage really need to be a lot more cautious, depending where they're looking at, though. But that's the first thing to note. If you're thinking of investing in Sydney or Melbourne, I'd be very cautious at the moment. In fact, I'd probably be staying away. In the other cities, though, I think you can probably still afford to have a look around. You know, Brisbane market to me looks like it might be picking up a little bit, getting a bit more momentum in it, but don't expect it to get overly strong because those APRA measures will also weigh on investor buying in the Brisbane market along with the other capital cities. But it's really a time to sort of, you know, take your time, get out there, kick the tyres, make sure you're getting into an area where there's going to be good tenant demand, you're not going to have vacancy problems, and also just don't buy in areas which have recently seen rapid price gains, because I think those rapid price gains could evaporate more quickly. You really should be looking at areas which haven't participated in the strength that we've seen, particularly in Sydney and Melbourne, and where rental yields are a lot more attractive than you see in Sydney and Melbourne.
We're always aware, of course, that the property market is a cycle. Where do you think we are in the cycle, or is that too hard to generalise on an Australian property market?
If you look at the national average, price gains have been rising for the last couple of years now, obviously led by Sydney and Melbourne. That's now turning down. So I think we're in the downturn phase at a national level. In Sydney and Melbourne, though, that downturn is probably going to be more pronounced. In Brisbane, though, I think we're still in the earlier phases of modest growth. You know, price growth in Brisbane sort of been running around 4 to 5%, and it might. I suspect over the next few years that might well continue. Whereas if you flip across to the other extreme, say Perth and Darwin, they're still being affected by the mining downturn and they're seeing price declines, and I think those price declines probably have a bit further to go. So you can look at the national figures and sort of come to one conclusion. It looks like we're in the early rollover or downturn phase or slowdown phase, but yet you really have to look at it city by city because they do vary so much around Australia at the moment, which in fact is an unusual occurrence. Normally they're a bit more correlated.
I noticed too, Shane, the banks moving to increase interest rates.
That's largely in response to measures that APRA, the bank regulator, put through a month or so ago to ensure that banks have higher capital set aside for any lending into housing. And of course, as soon as they've got to put more capital aside, it means that their cost of funding goes up. It's like a business running, it has a higher cost. And so they thought, well, what do? We could either cut deposit rates or we could increase our prices on our mortgages. And of course, they've chosen to do that. What it does do, though, is add a bit more uncertainty to the property markets in the short term. Could be a bit of a dampener. But I think it also puts pressure back on the Reserve Bank to consider cutting interest rates again, because the last thing Australia wants at the moment is higher interest rates for existing homeowners. I think that would be a really bad thing. So hopefully the Reserve Bank will be attuned to this and consider cutting interest rates in the next month or so.
Well, in the past few years, Melbourne Cup Day, they seem to have done that. Maybe they'll do it again this year, Shane.
That's right. The Melbourne Cup Day does have a good track record, not last year, but for all the years before. I think most of them, we have seen a move either up or down on Cup Day. So my betting is that they probably will put through a cup this coming Melbourne Cup Day, which is November the 3rd, I think.
That's
it is.
That's right. Indeed it is. Yeah, not too far away. Shane Oliver, thank you so much for your time. Shane, of course, the Chief Economist with AMP. Shane, thank you. Well, just before the ad break, there you heard we were talking to Shane Oliver, the Chief Economist at AMP, and giving us a bit of a snapshot around Australia and having a look specifically at the Sydney and Melbourne markets. Good to hear, too, that he thinks that Brisbane is probably not going to suffer like some of the other states. Joining me now, the CEO for the Real Estate Institute of Queensland, Antonia Mercarella. Antonia, it really does, it's a shame when we're all put in the same basket, I think, because there are different markets all around Australia, aren't there?
Absolutely, Kevin. It's really concerning the way that commentators are making statements about what's happening in the property market, and those comments are largely based on what's happening in Sydney and Melbourne. And I think it's really important to understand that that those cities are outliers. They are the exception. They're not the rule. And I'm really thrilled to hear Shane acknowledging that that Brisbane and Queensland more generally is predicting that there's actually going to be growth, and that those comments don't apply to us. That's really refreshing to hear someone making those statements.
Yeah, and we're pleased to be able to broadcast that too. And the Brisbane median seems to be still reaching new highs, Antonia?
Yeah, look, that's right. We saw it reach 610, which is the highest it's ever been. So that's the median in the Brisbane metropolitan area. Mm. It does drop down quite considerably when we start talking about Greater Brisbane. It drops down to around 479,000. So I think we need to sort of keep that in mind. Yep. But again, if we take a look at that Brisbane metro area median at 610, when you compare that with where Sydney is sitting, which is at around the $1 million price tag, I think you can see that there is still much, much greater affordability here in Brisbane.
Yeah, well, talking about affordability, of course, we've also got to consider how much people need to borrow. And I think if you look at the Queensland borrowing on average compared to Victoria and even Sydney, it's still very favourable.
That's exactly right. That's an excellent point. So in Queensland, the average home loan sits at around $319,000. And then if you take a look at New South Wales, it's all the way up to about $422,000. So obviously the averages of those loans are lower here in Queensland, and we know that there's that the statistics we have also tell us that the amount of the proportion of that of the family income that's going towards servicing mortgage repayments is also lower here in Queensland than what it is in both New South Wales and Victoria.
Yeah, that's a good indicator too, because we sometimes think that, oh, well, they get paid more in Sydney and Melbourne, but it's you've really got to look at that disposable income, which is an excellent point you just made.
That's right.
So as we're in the peak selling time of the year now, Antonia. What are your predictions between now and the end of the year, and even going into 2016?
Well, look, what we've actually seen is over the past 2 years, we've seen the Brisbane market grow by about 2% per quarter on average, and that seems to be a trend that's fairly well established. We've got no reason to believe that that's going to change. We are hearing stories of greater confidence in the market. Consumer confidence is really, really important, Kevin. People will be really easily scared off when they hear economists speaking doom and gloom. So I think we need to be very careful about the impact that can have on a buyer's psyche and on their confidence. But certainly real estate agents are saying that there are buyers out there. They're very keen to buy. We've still got very, very low interest rates. The indication is that interest rates probably are going to remain where they are for the remainder of the year. So, look, we're feeling positive about the future. We're not expecting ridiculous rapid growth the way that we have been seeing in Sydney and Melbourne, but I think what we are due to see is more steady, sustainable growth, and I think that's a good thing. I think that gives both sellers and buyers confidence.
Yeah, hearing you there talk about interest rates, of course, only 2 weeks away from the RBA meeting again, and traditionally they have actually dropped them on Melbourne Cup Day, and as you probably heard there, Shane Oliver sort of predicting that they might actually do it again this year too, and that'd be good news for us as well, Antonia, wouldn't it?
Well, it would be good news. The only qualification I make to that, and I know that it sounds unusual for the CEO of the REIQ to not be welcoming more interest rate cuts, the only sort of qualification I do like to put on that, Kevin, is that people do need to be aware that interest rates are likely to go back up at some stage. They are at historically low levels, and it's just really important that people understand that at some point in the future that might occur, and so it's important to borrow an amount of money that ultimately you are going to be able to repay even when those interest rates do go up. So you do want to leave yourself that little bit of a buffer zone.
That's very good advice. And the other point too is that when interest rates do go down, it's not a sign that we should rejoice. It's actually a sign that the economy's not doing all that well.
Yeah, I think sometimes we do forget that.
Yeah, we do. Antonia, great talking to you as always. Congratulations on your work, the REIQ, and our CEO there, Antonia Mercarella. It's been our guest. Antonia, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks so much, Kevin.
With Kevin Turner. Make the move to Water's Edge Apartments on the Redcliffe Peninsula. It's absolute waterfront luxury from just $575,000.
Coming up to 26 minutes to 8. We've got more news coming up for you at 8 o'clock as we talk real estate. You can join us anytime, 13 13 32. Let's get an update on what is happening in the market as he joins us every Saturday morning, Dr. Andrew Wilson, Senior Economist with the Domain Group. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you
today? Oh, mate, I'm fantastic. Thank you. Great. Beautiful day here in Brizzy. You're not in Brisbane, are you, today?
No, I'll be there in a fortnight, though.
So oh, good. Are you going to come into the studio?
Absolutely, yes. It would be a great experience in those 4PC studios. Well, I've been a couple of times.
It'd be lovely. We'd love to have you here. So what's that, 2 weeks, is it?
A couple of weeks, yeah.
Is that the week of the Melbourne Cup? It would be, too.
A week after, so it's 3 weeks, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, right, right. Well, the RBA will have done their thing by then. What's your tip? I tell you what, the tips are getting pretty hot that there's going to be another little dip. What do you reckon?
Yes, well, the jungle drums are getting pretty loud, aren't they?
They are, mate, yeah.
Particularly today. And I think Westpac put the cat amongst the pigeons, didn't it, this week?
Yeah, they did. That's
right.
Big
talking point in the market. And with those increase in interest rates, which really came out of left field, I think, but... That certainly put an interest rate cut back to the traditional Melbourne Cup interest rate movement back on the cards, I think, and perhaps it's now favouring a cut, particularly also given some pretty poor unemployment numbers coming out on Thursday.
Yes.
I think we've always said got to keep an eye on those unemployment numbers. And although the national unemployment rate was steady over the month, the disturbing factor was that there was actual job losses. There was no growth in the workforce. It actually went backwards over the month, and it was only the participation rate falling that kept the unemployment rate steady, and that meant that people are sort of giving up looking for work or retiring, so which means they're a little disenchanted with their employment prospects. So I think that's an important factor that the RBA will look at. Unemployment data has been sort of sideways a little bit over recent months, but that was not a good result. And with 2% official rates at the moment, we're still well ahead of everywhere else. And it doesn't look like the US are going to raise their interest rates, which was what the Reserve Bank, I guess, was hoping would happen to push our dollar down. So, look, a lot of the signs are now pointing to a cut. And November's favoured, Kevin, that Cup Day. It's not just, a coincidence with the Melbourne Cup of that weekend. It's because it's the last opportunity, really, to have an impact on the economy before the year ends.
Yeah.
The December cut really is, not effective, and the bank doesn't meet again until February. So any action in February usually doesn't impact the broader economy until into autumn. So this is an opportunity for it to act, to also work its way into retail sales over Christmas.
Yes.
Those types of activities, and I think with the housing market now, certainly the big markets of Sydney and Melbourne coming off the boil. As I said, it's ticking a lot of boxes at the moment, Kevin.
Yeah, had an angry reaction from the REIQ just leading up to the 7:30 news. Antonio Mercurella, CEO of the REIQ, was on a little bit uptight about some of the commentators' predictions this week of drops in the market of 7.5% and even 10%. What's your take on that?
Nah, look, these are, we get a lot of the headline grabbers, don't we, Kevin, in this business, and they come and they go. I know there were some predictions of house price falls over, 7 to 8%, I think it was, starting in March. The clear reality is that prices, really, if they're going to fall, will come down as interest rates go up. And the energy clearly is for interest rates downwards, not upwards. And even though Westpac did tickle those interest rates up slightly, I think that's another factor that will, increase the chances of a rate cut on Melbourne Cup Day. So we'd really need to have significant price falls. We'd need affordability to fall, and that means higher interest rates, and that's not going to happen anytime soon with official rates going down rather than up.
What's the differential between the official rate, the RBA rate, and the average rate that the banks are charging on their loans? Is that becoming wider?
Well, look, there's always a little bit of margin shifting, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Kevin, when rates go either up or down, and there's a lag in the movement. But look, the competition in the marketplace really determines that. I mean, banks can are not really driven to push up rates or push rates up or down, but it's competition in the market share that creates that need for bank rates to move up or down. But look, I guess mortgage rates, variable rates, are around about 5% at the moment, and the official rates 2%. So I'm not sure that we'll get much of a lift from our housing market, the cut in rates, another cut in rates. I think it's a very localised, markets are very localised now in terms of what's happening.
Mm.
But there's no doubt that the Melbourne and Sydney markets are coming back to the pack. And that's probably a good thing because it's more of a balanced market and more of a rational market, I think, particularly in Sydney at the moment.
Yeah. Let's have a look at Narangba, which we promised we would do. Interesting report too. And by the way, Andrew's report is now on the 4BC website. Just go to 4BC, click onto shows, you'll find my show there, and it's there for you as a download. We're going to provide that every week. Andrew provides that with his lovely photo up the top. Love that photo, mate. Is that airbrushed at all? Is that real?
I'll put my hand up. It's just a couple of years old.
Yeah. Oh, who cares, mate? Looks good.
Yeah,
okay, tell me about Narangba.
Well, it's an interesting place, isn't it, Narangba, Kevin? Narangba was one of those new development areas a decade or so ago north of Brisbane.
Yes.
And it's interesting that maybe North Lakes has sort of taken over that energy now as being the bright new area for development. So Narangba has just been part of the outer suburban areas of Brisbane that have been flat for a couple of years. And that's a reflection of an underperforming local economy here. We've had higher numbers of listings and also, concerns over job security and unemployment have sort of kept buying and selling reasonably flat there. But so look, some recently some good news for Narangba, with prices up by 4.7% over the year. And that's certainly ahead of the local region, which of course is Moreton Bay. The price has been up by 2.4%. I think we're getting to the point now where areas, you know, very strong established areas such as Narangba are offering very good value, with prices having been flat, just 3% growth over the last 5 years. And we're also seeing the days on market come down and also the discount rates coming down a bit. So it's a 4.6%. So I think that there's some signs there that buyers are becoming more active in Narangba. And I think it is that affordability with prices being flat for a number of years that affordability is now starting to drive buyers into that market again.
Yeah, I think you said the median there, 420, still very affordable. There's not really much of a unit market in that area, is it?
No. There's hardly any units at all. So, and that's the point about Narangba. It's a low rise. As I said, it was an area that was developed, I guess, a fringe area 10, 15 years ago. A lot of young families moved out there and started off their journey in the housing market. And as I said, a little bit of the energy's been drawn away with North Lakes just out a bit further from Narangba. But for those looking for an established property, an established area to the north of Brisbane, as I said, I think it represents very good value. And of course, you get the bigger blocks out there as well. And
yes, that's right.
I think investors also, you know, could look at Narangba as a positive. But look, a nice spot, Narangba. As I said, it's moved a little bit sideways, but the early signs now that it's picking up again.
Good on you. Andrew, just before we go, about a minute to go, auctions this weekend, what's happening?
Well, another big weekend in auctions for Brisbane. Over 130 auctions again. We're seeing that trend of higher auction numbers, 134 auctions this weekend in Brisbane, 141 last weekend. Next weekend, another 120. And, you know, the market's still tracking above 50% clearance rates. And look, we have our house price report out next week, Kevin.
Oh, good.
So that'll be interesting to see how Brisbane house prices are going. And we'll have a chat about the regions also, if you like.
All right. And I'll give you a little bit more homework during the week as well. We'll pick another suburb for next weekend.
Yes. Thank you so much, Kevin. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Good on you, mate. Andrew Wilson, Dr. Andrew Wilson, Senior Economist with the Domain Group. And he joins us each week. And of course, if you've got a favourite suburb you'd like us to have a look at sometime, let me know. Just send me an email through my website. Just send it to kevin@realestatetalk.com.au. And we've got a lot of posts up there as well, audio, video, and a lot of text. All of our interviews, by the way, on that website, go word to text. So you can listen to the interview and you can read all about it as well. Coming up to 17 minutes to 8, and my next guest, Andrew Jenner, is a self-confessed lover of Queensland. He's a Queenslander's, the type of house. He's an author. He's also a carpenter. He's written a book called The Building of the Queensland House, and his new book, which I'm not sure whether it's been released yet, we'll find out in just a moment. It is called A Carpenter's Handbook and Owner's Manual. It's packed with illustrations and lots of photos. A passage from that book actually sets the tone for this conversation, and I'm quoting directly from the book. As a resource, the Queensland house is being mined. No new one has been built for a lifetime, nor is it likely to be. Attrition in the form of demolition for its land and destruction under the heading of renovation means there are never fewer in the older suburbs and none in the new. The Queensland house should be sacrosanct, for without it there is no Queensland, just hot suburbs of barely permanent stage sets designed to go the way of the fibro shack with their glue wood interiors and polystyrene features. Andrew, that's a pretty scathing description of what's happening to the Queenslander. You're a bit upset, are you?
You know, I say those things with tongue-in-cheek. nevertheless, Brisbane is suffering from wealth, and that's the main problem. The historic housing really should be protected.
But wouldn't it be more expensive to build a traditional Queenslander now? I know we've seen recreations and we've seen renovations, as I said there, but to build a Queenslander in the manner in which it was built in the older days would be very expensive.
It would have been about 20 years ago, but now, remarkably, the cost of the timber involved hasn't increased very much. Mm. So I'm inclined to think that if someone wanted to build a completely original Queenslander, It'll never happen, of course. But if somebody wanted to do it, it wouldn't cost any more than the high-tech houses being built now.
Yeah, because when you think of it, there are a lot of those places that provide colonial-type furniture, colonial-type fittings, the railings and all that sort of stuff. So everything is there for us to be able to do it. Why don't we do it?
Yes, it's interesting. Well, I mean, you've got to like an old Queensland house. They are noisy, badly insulated.
Drafty.
Place. Yeah.
Open cracks in the floor.
Yes, yes, all of that. Of course, you know, modern carpentry techniques can fix all that. And, of course, you can insulate you can insulate an old house and make it really, you know, really attractive.
Because a lot of those internal walls in those Queenslanders and colonial-type homes, they were just a single skin, weren't they? They're just one timber on one side.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, if somebody's getting active in the bedroom next door, you can hear every grunt.
Well, even over the top of the doors, that lattice work was all open. I mean, the whole and that was more for ventilation, I think, wasn't it?
It was high ceilings, vents between all the doors, little opening sashes above the front door. The back door was left open permanently. They were breezy houses, actually quite nice for our climate, and usually a wood stove in the kitchen winter you could heat the whole place. You know,
boy, in summer, and of course it was the only way to cook too with those cookers. It would have been so hot in the kitchen in summer.
Oh, yeah, it would have been awful.
Well, I think in some of those earlier homes, the kitchens were actually separate from the home because it was such a great fire risk.
Yeah, that's true. You sometimes see them, don't you? They're just a little ice house built in the same style and tacked on the back. Yeah.
And you don't think that some of the recreations or the renovations that are happening now are quite good enough or bringing back that Queenslander feel, Andrew?
No, they're imitations. You can build a beautiful house for Queensland using all modern materials and a completely different style of design.
Yeah.
But hardly anybody does, you know.
Well, you're a builder. Would you do it for someone if they wanted, or are you past that now? Oh, would? Yeah,
absolutely.
Have you ever done it?
No, I never have.
It'd be a great project.
Well, it would, yeah, but someone would have to front up with the money, of course.
Have you got an estimate on what it would cost?
No idea. It just depends on how big the place is.
Yeah. Tell me, your new book, A Carpenter's Handbook and an Owner's Manual, that's obviously the step through, is it?
Just correct you on that. It's the third edition of the original book.
Oh, my apologies. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Is it out yet?
No. Went to the printers yesterday. He reckons 3 weeks.
Oh, so it'll be out for Christmas. That's good. Let us know when it is, and we'd love, if you don't mind, to maybe just give a couple of copies away too. That's putting the acid on you on air.
Yeah, well, look, I can do that.
Hey, Andrew, it's great to talk to you, and I want to talk to you a little bit more because there's some fascinating areas that I want to dig into with the old Queenslanders. We're out of time now, but can we get you back again at some stage?
Yep, anytime.
Maybe when the book's out, hey?
Yeah, so long as I'm not working on a roof.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, well, we'll try and get you down from the roof. Hey, did you hear the story about the guy who was actually working on the roof and tethered himself to the car and his wife drove off?
Oh, yes.
True story. You heard that, did you? Yeah.
Is it true? I think
it
might be.
It's a great story. So why let you know whether or not it's true stand in the way of a great story? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Good on you, Andrew. Love to catch up with you again soon, mate, and all the best with the book.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Okay, bye, Kevin.
Thanks for joining us, mate. Thank you.
You're listening to Real Estate with Kevin Turner on News Talk 4BC.
Yesterday in Claire's show, we talked about an agent who was actually sitting on a contract, on an offer, for a property that had been on the market for some time. And it would appear from, and we followed up on it again last night, but it would appear that it's a form of Dutch auction. I was fascinated about this because my phone went crazy with a number of people who've said they've had similar situations. Adam Nobel joins me. Adam, of course, no stranger to the show. Adam, it's a most unusual thing to do for an agent to sit on an offer like this and have nothing back from, not communicating back with the purchaser.
Yes, I think so. We are obligated to present all written offers to our sellers, and a good agent will communicate with their client every day. So as verbal offers come in, as written offers come in, they should be communicating with their client every day, letting them know, and obviously going back to the buyer and letting them know where they need to be in order to buy the property.
For someone who has made an offer on a property and maybe the agent's not coming back to them, what can they do about it? Is there any way to push themselves through the ranks?
Yeah, I would ask, my advice would be put your offer in writing. Often an agent will give an expression of interest form or an offer form, just simply to get all the details for a contract. If they're sort of in the ballpark of actually buying the property, then the agent, if they're a good agent, will take that and put it into a contract straight away, or will just fill in the contract straight away and then take it off to the seller. So really the buyer needs to insist on making a written offer and then asking for the feedback from the seller.
When I spoke about it yesterday, Claire came straight back with a comment, can't you put a deadline on the offer? Does that really work?
It can. It is a good move sometimes to put a timeline to your offer. So you could put in a special condition that just simply says this offer is valid until 5 p.m. the next business day.
Yeah.
The key is, though, that you don't want to be seen as a tough negotiator. You want to be a smart negotiator, and it's important to be on side with the seller as well. So there are ways that you can say that, rather than sort of picking on the property and sort of applying, maybe false pressure. You could say that you love the property, this is where you want to live. However, there are other properties you want to see, and therefore, we need an answer as soon as possible. So yes, it can be an effective way of getting an answer sooner.
Good on you, mate. We're out of time, unfortunately, but always great talking to Adam Nobel there from Space Property. He's our go-to man. Thanks, Adam. Lovely talking to you, and have a good day, mate.
Thanks, Kevin. You too. Bye-bye.